And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, thy word, so help us as we seek to understand that we might be able to honor and appreciate your person the better. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And God has gone in his wonderful grace and helped the disciples. They have been with him for 3 1/3 years, and they are the ones who are going to represent him on the day of Pentecost. They're the ones that are going to carry on his ministry. They're the ones that are going to communicate his wonderful person to the men and women, boys and girls. So God makes sure that his disciples, these people, are given every opportunity to understand all that they need to. So the details of the resurrection, etc., are preparing them for their heavenly assignment that they have, their most holy heavenly assignment. And therefore, the resurrection experiences that they go through, that we studied, looked at a little bit, John chapter 20, etc. And the 3 1/3 years in their public ministry with him, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, basically. And then now, after the resurrection, 40 days and nights, God is going to show himself alive to them so that they are. They hear, they've been with him, they are to understand. He's told them all kinds of things, and they needed to take in. They're going to go with him. God is preparing them to do the job. Now, they need to have ears to hear, and they need to believe. That's what they need to do. So, here in John chapter 14, and God goes after his resurrection, and plays a peekaboo with him, if you would. Now you see me, now you don't. That's what he did. For 3 1/3 years, they see him every day. Now they're going to see him, and then they're not going to see him. There, and then he's not there. He's helping them to understand John chapter 20 and verse 28, 20 and 28. I didn't mean to do that so much. John 20 and 28, what is he helping them? Remember now, Jesus saith unto him, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. They have, this, the people that are coming that you're going to talk to, they never spent 3 1/3 years. They never saw the resurrection. They never saw it. No, just you guys did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God had given them all kinds of preparation to understand. So therefore, a point, he was going to leave them. That's what he's going to do. He was there. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to leave them. Hang on. Over to John chapter 14 again. And in John chapter 14, I'm just going to remind you and me that what they should have known, what they did know. John chapter 14, picking up in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to go and prepare a place. I'm going to go. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The word comfortless is father. I will not leave you without a father. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm going to come to you. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go, but I'm going to come. Verse 28. You have heard now how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that purpose, when it is come to pass, you might believe. I'm telling you all this. You aren't going to understand it. But afterwards, you will. But you got to have it. Now, do it again. Chapter 16. And chapter 16, and in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 8 of verse 17. Sanctify, excuse me, I gave you some verse, it's me. It's me, not you. I learned verse 17. I like 17. Chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 8. Thank you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. Verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and we shall not see him. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, and shall see me. And because I go to the Father, see me, and then you don't see me. He's helping them. And they heard, but they needed to understand the reality of what he was saying, and they didn't understand it. So, in the light of that, over if I can, remember, background, he's telling them all the things which they have to do. Back over again to Matthew chapter 26. And remember, God told them, in Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to go to verse 31. 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32, note, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee up north. I'm going to go. So they know this. He tells them he's going to be crucified, and they're going to stay in Jerusalem. Then they're going to go to Galilee. That's what they're supposed to do, to see him. So here's all the resurrections in Jerusalem. Now they're going to go to Galilee and wait for him. Chapter 28, remember again. And chapter 28, and in verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. So you're going to go to Galilee, and he's going to be in and out. They see him and they don't see him. John chapter 20, the resurrection appearances in Jerusalem. And then he says, I want you to go to Galilee, and you're going to see me there. I'm going to see you there. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and sliding down to verse 16. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all looking at the cross, all looking at the Lord, giving you four different windows to look through. chapter 28, verse 16. Then the disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Okay, that sounds okay. Now, when John, the last living apostle, is writing, and he has the 20 chapters. Now, so like I read in chapter 28, verse 16, that's where they went. They went away to Galilee. He said, I'm going to add, let me fill in a little piece. We did go, we did end up in Galilee, we did everything. But I want you to know what we had to go through, what we did and should have done, and that we did something we shouldn't have done. I want to tell you about it. Chapter 21, John. He's going to help you understand. John chapter 21. And in John chapter 21, remember, in the process, John fulfills how they went. How did they actually go? Well, we did go to Galilee, but we didn't go looking for him. We didn't go to the mountain and wait for him. He would have been there anyway when we got there. We didn't find him when we went to Galilee. Why didn't you find him? Because why? Well, we've been with him all the 3 1/3 years. There's no question he's an awesome person. And in the process, we've done all of that. And we went through the cross and we got all depressed and we figured it was the end. He died. But he had told us he would rise again. But we didn't believe him. And lo and behold, he took 40 days, going to take 40 days, and he's going to help us understand he actually rose again. So the one who was, we followed him, we committed ourselves to him, we did everything, and we got all the way, and we got the, Lord, we thought it was all over. And lo and behold, he actually rose again. He did it. And then he's gone. Did you remember? He told you he's going. But you guys remember? No, we don't remember anything. We don't remember at all. So therefore, what did we do? Remember John chapter 21 verse 3. Remember, here's 7 disciples, and they're going out. Four of them are apostles. And Simon Peter saith unto them, verse 3, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And we did all this last time, remember? Now in the process, they did this. And they, well, he's gone. What a wonderful experience. What an adventure we had for 3 1/3 years. What an awesome thing it was. But it's all over. He's gone. We'll be able to talk about it, think about it. It's all over. Back home, they went back home. Galilee, that's their home. And went fishing, that's what they do. They went fishing. It's all over. Wow, what a wonderful experience. Are they remembering anything? No, they are remembering. Nope, they're busy doing what we normally do as humans. When something disappears, illustration. Here's Moses. You remember Moses going up and down. One of the times he goes up to the mountain and a fire and doesn't come down. It doesn't come down and the people got impatient. That's when they built the golden calf to go back to Egypt. But Moses is gone. Moses went up and down. Shouldn't we just wait for Moses to come down? Oh, no. No, we aren't going to wait for Moses. No. He's gone. Us humans, we do. But yet, nothing happened. We go back to what we normally do because we aren't paying attention to how things are supposed to work and why they work. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so I go fishing. Back to what we do, what we are, this is what we do. We fish, we make a living, we do like everybody else. And the reality of all of our adventure was just an adventure and very special experience with Jesus, who happened to actually be the Messiah. And he rose again. That's the best we understand. And he's gone. He's gone. And so there we are. So we go fishing. And in the process, we aren't going to wait. And so we went fishing, and chapter 21, 1 through 14, we fished all night because of night fishing. And we caught nothing at all. And it was morning. Daylight came, and we were out there. And lo and behold, as we looked on the shoreline, there on the shoreline was a man standing. And the man standing there beckoned to us. We got attention. And he told us to go and take the net we had. And we were all done for the night. He said, remember, he said, as we shared all that together, he said, have you caught, you, remember, the question was, you have not caught any fish all night, have you? You have not succeeded in what you did all night. And they had to say, yes, you're right. We didn't catch anything. That's what he said. You didn't catch any. But if you just take your net and throw it over the right side, and you'll catch fish. And that's what they did. They threw the net over. And the net was loaded with 153 large fish, etc. And they couldn't pull the net in, and was so heavy to do so. And Peter, whatever, John said, it's the Lord. Peter didn't recognize. John did. John said, that's the Lord. And once Peter connected the dots, he dove overboard, swam it to shore in that 300 football field long, 300 feet, and to the shoreline. And they pulled in, and the other men pulled the boat and got the fish in, pulling the net in. Peter helped them, and they had all these fish on the shore. And our Lord Jesus Christ did a wonderful thing. He had them for breakfast. That's what he did. And he had breakfast for them. Now, why did he have breakfast? Well, you remember, as we did all those different things, in Luke, in that 24, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, when did they wake up? They were with him, but they didn't recognize him till God helped them. And he broke the bread, and they just said, it's God. That's right. And the disciples and Peter, James, and John, and the upper room, one of the times that the Lord appeared to all of them. And what were they doing? And they didn't catch it. So God took the extra step. See my hands, see my side. And he took the extra step and said, what are you eating? And he sat down and took a fish and the bread. That's what he did. He made it so they could see. Not something up here that says, wow, here's somebody eating the same fish, eating the same bread. Here's somebody down on our, we can touch him on our level. We can see it. I got it. What are you going to do, Lord, to help them? I'm going to help them. They need help. They do. So here's Peter, James, and John. They need help. And God goes and has breakfast. And they have a nice breakfast, chit-chat, whatever. And once the business of the breakfast is over, God said, now we're going to get down to business. Now. So he was waiting for them. He told them he'd be waiting for them, but they were not conscious of it. And so here's God's wonderful patience and mercy and grace. And after they're relaxing, etc., here's in chapter 21 and in verse 15. Now, keep in mind, here's the 11 apostles. Only four of them are in the boat: Peter, James, and John, and Thomas. Now, there they are. They're in the boat. Two are in the boat. Where's the rest of them? They're somewhere else. But these two, here's Peter in the boat, and here's John in the boat. Now, God has something kind of, he singled it all out, allowed it to happen. He gave them breakfast, and here's the seven of them sitting there, and he takes Peter. Why does he take Peter? He takes Peter in a most wonderful way. Because, why did you pick Peter? Peter, of the 11, of the 12, even counting Judas, here's the 11 of them. And for three and a half years, go back and understand a little bit, refresh your mind about Peter. What is it about Peter that God singles him out? Why does God single out Peter? Not Thomas. Thomas cares, but not Thomas. Peter. Now, a little exercise again, if we can, in the light of that. So here we are looking, and here's Simon Peter. He's called Simon Peter. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Simon. The Lord Jesus Christ said, now call him Peter. Simon Peter. That's where he got the name Peter. God gave it to him, Peter. Now, and in the process, he's Simon, son of Jonas. Chapter 21, verse 15. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Here he is saying that. And therefore, he's singling him out, Jonas. And God's personal attention, Peter is there. What about Peter, as we said? Now, Peter is here, of the 11 of them, who stands out tending to lead? Who said go fishing? Peter said go fishing. Who says do this? Peter says. Peter's the leader. Peter's aggressive boy. But put the pieces together. Go with me in Matthew chapter 10 and have a little review of Peter. Why Peter? Matthew chapter 10, picking up, if I can, in verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Matthew 10, 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. He's the first. Where's the first one? This one? Okay. Over to John chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14. And picking up, if I can, in chapter 14, in verse 27, we'll give it to us. But pick up the background of it. Remember the ships in the sea, chapter 14. They're out there, the ship now was in the midst of the sea, verse 24, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary, and the fourth watch of the night went unto, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And who once got it, it's me, Peter, boy. Verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. On the water, Peter doesn't care. He's a, we're going to go get it. He don't care. Verse 28, and Peter answered and said, if thou be come in the water. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus, and when he saw the wind and boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see, Peter's good. But when the realities come, the resurrection, he's gone. We're going to go to Galilee. Here we are in the water. And Peter's out there. And Peter says, this isn't right. It isn't right to walk on water. And he was right. And he started to sink. And he needed to be saved. And of God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Now, chapter 15. And chapter 15, picking up. And here's the parable. Who's leading all the time? Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. In other words, God, we want to understand. Someone else could have said it. They probably all want to understand. Peter led the charge. Peter led the looking what they were for. Chapter 16. And you'd recall, verse 13, when Jesus come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others is Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I want it personal. Who do you think I am? And who do you think is going to speak? Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That is God. Peter, God did that. Peter, how'd you do it? God did it. Peter, God's going to take this guy. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, etc. And we did all that. Now, Peter, of course, isn't the church. But he's the little rock, he's the little stone. God is the big stone. Now, having said that, in verse 21, background. And from that, verse 20, understand. Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Why? You are not understanding who I am. When you talk about me, you will not say it clearly. You will try to tell who I am when you don't understand who I am. And you can't do that. So be quiet. I don't want you to say anything. But I'm sad. Don't say it. You can't communicate properly. Next verse, 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, imperative, go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things, and of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and he killed and be killed and raised again the third day. Then, wonderful, wonderful explanation of all of it. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Say, you're not going to get crucified. We're with you. We're with you. I have my sword, said Peter. Anyway, got everything. Got all of it. verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. But thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That's your problem, Peter. You're human. You're trying to make everything work out on your terms as you understand it. And God said, I'm not doing that. Now if you can, keep going in the light of that. If I can, in Moses. And remember Moses? I mentioned Moses. Moses was up front. If you want to know, God picked Moses. Who went up and down the mountain? God did. Up to the fire, into the fire. Moses did. Moses did before God. That's what he did. That was God's man. God picked him. He had to have someone. He picked somebody. He trained Moses. He trained Moses at the burning bush. And he trained him for 80 years. He prepared Moses, 80 years old. He had to wait till Moses was ready. He prepares men. You can't just do. He prepares them. Now, in a most wonderful way, God's, wow, now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so in chapter 26, Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 26, remember what Peter is going to do. Peter is going to go and honor the Lord, but then he's going to dishonor the Lord. He's going to go. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, chapter 26, verse 32, we read, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. I'll never stumble, God. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. And then at the three times, verse 35, Jesus said unto him, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the other disciples said, followed Peter's lead, we aren't going to do it either. So that was pretty good. That's pretty good. But they're all going to be scattered anyway. Verse 36, then cometh Jesus unto the place called Gethsemane, etc., etc., etc. And he's going to go. And God's going to go. And they're going to have to go and rebuke. Back over, if I can, chapter 26. Slide over to, if I can, verse 72. Again, here's the denials, 1, 2, 3. Denials of Peter. He said, I don't know you. Again, he denied the oath with oath and oath. I swear, I don't know the man. I don't know the man, that man. I don't know him. I'm going to go. I'll never quit. I don't know him. Boy, wow. Peter, you're something else. And verse 73, after a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely also art thou one of them, by thy speech, in other words, your speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times, and went out and wept bitterly. Now there's Peter. Peter's all over the place in what he does. So Peter, and he had his sword and everything. Now what have we got in chapter 21 of John? He's going fishing. That's what he's doing. And in the process, back over to John chapter 21. And in John chapter 21, verse 15, why did God pick out and single out Peter? Of all the people fishing, John and Peter are in the boat. And they're in the boat. God is going to help Peter, and the seven of them are all sitting there, and Peter is going to be helped. Now, in the process, In the process of all of that, so Peter didn't understand, etc., and being overwhelmed with everything. So chapter 21, verse 15, so when he had dined, and he said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Comparative. Here's the six of them sitting there. And he points to Peter. Do you love me more than they? Do you love me more than they do? That's what he said to Peter. And the word love is God's word, agape. Love, love, love. The love of God. We've talked about over the years. Not human love. God's love. God is love. What about God's love? God loves, and God wants in his love. He claims, he centers himself totally on the target. He loves it, and he wants the target. He wants who he loves to be everything God has in mind. He loves them. He wants to make them have all the benefits of God's creative, wonderful work. Think of Sunday school. God's creative, wonderful work. He wants them to have that life. That's what he wants. Where does it come from? God's love. God loves. He loves. That's the word he's using. Now, lovest thou me more than these? Question. Peter's response. He saith unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, you have to get the movement of this, because God's helping Peter. He needs some help. All of us need help. But Peter, since Peter stands out, you look at the disciples are looking at Peter. So as Peter discovers and gets his act right, gets his heart right, as he gets his heart right, we are all going to learn from it because we're looking to him. We're looking to Moses. When we see Moses being judged and all of that, we're learning. We're learning. God picks his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we learn about God in Christ? God didn't pick 25 people. He picked his son to demonstrate, to show us God in the flesh. That's what he did in his wonderful way. So here's Peter, and Peter says in answer, yes, I love you, Lord. But he doesn't use the word God uses. He doesn't use that word love. Phileo, he talks about a love. What do you mean? I want you to understand I have an affection for you. I have an affection. It denotes the natural inclination, affection, a spontaneous word we used, love, loving. I'm your friend. I feel warm. I'm comfortable with you. I like you. I love you, but not that love. It's the human love. Phileo, you're my friend. You know I'm your friend. But God didn't ask him that. He asked him, if you love me, are you loving me like I'm loving you? Peter said, I'm fond of you. I'm fond of you. I've been with you 3 1/3 years. I've watched your resurrection. I've had all of this. God, you know I'm fond. You're my friend. I didn't ask that, said God. I wanted to know if you love me. And what are you pulling out of Peter? Peter, you need to get your act right. Are you like them? Are you like them? And Peter said, I love you. I'm fond of you. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God loves them. God loves you and me. When I say it simply, what is God? God asked Peter, do you love me? Why is it so important, God? Hold your finger here. Well, you can't have time. We do have time. Deuteronomy. We're going to run out of time. Deuteronomy. If I can, chapter 6. And you know it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, going way back and coming forward. Chapter 6, verse 5, directly. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. God, what do you want? Remember Isaiah, Jeremiah? God loves you with all his heart. And he wants you to love him. God wants your creator and savior. He wants to make you everything that he has in mind. That's why he created you. And you love it. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We're responding. That's right. God said, love me. Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I'm fond of you. You're my friend. He isn't catching on. He will. He will. But every human effort, my little title, every human effort, resurrections, upper room, John 14, 13 through 17, 1,000 words and 1,000 ways and 1,000 everything. God help me. None of it. Never is enough. You can have breakfast and God can help you 10 different ways. God is trying to get what? He wants you to understand. God has a wonderful plan for your life and it has to be worked out. And that requires your commitment to God's plan to outwork his wonderful plan for your life. Underline, that's called God loving you. And you've got to want that. You've got to want that. Peter doesn't understand that. All the things you could do to help us, God. But none of them will ever work. No matter, because we're always sort of stupid about everything. You understand? We're spiritually stupid and stubborn. And we just go and say, I got it. No, you don't got it. You don't got it. So God said, listen, unless all my efforts, I'm only trying to help you, Peter, you're going to learn, it won't become real until the Spirit of God enters your heart and makes it real. Otherwise, it's not real. Just a lot of words, and I'm your friend. And you want to have the life that I have. And you've been with me 3 1/3 years plus. And then 3 1/3 years, all you could do is watch what I could do and say and be. You never had a relationship to my Father like I do. And that's all you could be was with me. You could never enjoy it. It was never yours to enjoy. And it still isn't yours, Peter. But it will be when the Spirit of God, which I told you, would come and he will make possible the impossible and make it real. That's what's missing in believers. They're missing the reality of life. What is life? Life is a life, John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know God. What is life? It's a person. And you know him. That's life. We know what life is. I breathe the air. I got physical life. That's true, from the air. But I can't have spiritual life without God. It's God's life. It's a relationship. Eternal life is your relationship to God. And you've got to have it. Remember, we did it last week. I didn't pull it out again. I'll pull it out again. Remember the light bulb filament? In the filament, and we're all light bulbs. And until you get power into the light bulb in the filament, it's just a light bulb. And it doesn't light up. Now, in the process, here's Rembrandt, the Dutch painter, 1600s, Dutch painter. And here's the Dutch painter. And here's the illustration. And in the process, here's make-believe Rembrandt. We could be there, and we're watching him paint and do what he does, etching, does what he does. I said, wow, can he do that? And then I try to take my etching pen, and I try to do it. I can't do what he does. I can't do what he does. No. You can't do what Jesus does. And neither can I. And neither can Peter. What do I need? Oh, what happens if I could go and have a miracle? And God, you could make Rembrandt come into my life. And then Rembrandt would be in me. And my hand, he could use my hands. Wow. But Rembrandt can't come into my... I have no relationship to Rembrandt. I'm not made for Rembrandt. I'm made for God. Now, God, what do you want? I want to take. Here's your hand. And your hand, you can shake hands with everybody. Shake hands. Blow your nose. What do you got to do? Take it. Got it? God, what needs to be done? I want to go in your life. And I want to take your hand with my hand. And all of a sudden, it's the same hand blowing the nose, but it's different. All of a sudden, I am enjoying Rembrandt. I am enjoying God. This way here, I don't enjoy God. That's what's missing. Peter, he's my friend. You dummy, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. I got to quit. Thank you for your... We didn't get this. If we just sit a little longer, no. You got to put this together. We're starting to. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And here we are. God, help us understand you. You're so patient with them, and rightly so. And now we've got everything that they had in your word and your Spirit of God. Here you are. And we are able to capitalize on these wonderful, wonderful words and these wonderful, wonderful exercises that you put like Peter and James and John through. God, we're able to benefit instantly. Thank you very much. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord and Savior. When I receive you as my Savior, we receive your life, a relationship to you. You help me. You bring me. You bring us to God, and God to us in yourself. And we have a unique relationship to you. And it isn't about feeling. It isn't about anything tangible. It's just you, God, in your awesome person, to know you, called eternal life. God, Thank you. In Christ's name. Amen.